How difficult is it to exit your comfort zone? Is it worth the risk to see what awaits on the other side? And what to do if you have to close your company in which you invested all of your money and energy? Today we're challenging two mindsets to see how to become a stronger and more confident person, how to take and apply constructive feedback, and how to turn failures into new opportunities. So, as we said, we will talk today about going from fixed to growth mindset. I love this topic because I think it talks about the comfort zone and it talks about challenging your fears and everything. But there is really a lot here to say. Where do you want to start, Chris?
Well, we can start on our personal experience, and that the fact that we are recording this podcast in a new setting.
Mm-hmm. Remotely, yes.
Remotely, in a completely different environment. And actually, we have to be clear, but I think our listener knows that at the moment, Blue Lotus is closed.
Yes.
And I think one aspect is to see that this part of sharing and topics that we are interested in, this didn't vanish. So mm-hmm. It's not something that we did only because it was our work and we have to do it in a way. I think
it's really something that we love to talk about. I think those are all the topics that we talk in our normal conversations. So recording it, it's really, it doesn't feel like a job at all.
And you are correct that if I remember when it started, we were having kind of crazy, maybe because of me, discussion at breakfast. In yes. Thailand, and you say exactly. we should record that.
Yes, because we usually have breakfast, which lasts for at least an hour, and we talk about all those topics that are so valuable to me personally, but I think for many people. So it felt like a waste not to record it and just let it go away.
And so here, I think for the growth mindset, one aspect that we can see is that the last period of time, if people were in a kind of comfort zone, they most likely moved, unfortunately, to a fear zone because of all the COVID
situation
that were in lockdown. Some people lose their job and things. And since we are a learning center, we want to try to, and we were always about self-learning and learning, we want to move them to a learning zone. And why not a growth zone? As you said, we can compare fixed and growth mindset in order to make it clear. But so the first thing is that if you look at challenges, and I took this example of the COVID because it's the actuality, but it's actually any challenge. Mm-hmm. In a fixed mindset, what you want to do is to avoid it. You want to stick to your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. You want to avoid the challenge. You want to avoid the change.
Exactly. And it comes very often, a way to notice that is people blaming others. So you have this sometimes in the culture of certain company where people stay there. So they stick to mm-hmm. their comfort zone because they have a job, mm-hmm. They have a pay, etc., an advantage, I don't know. And they blame others. So they complain a lot, but they stay there.
Very interesting.
Where if you are interested into a growth mindset, you will see those challenging, help you to grow, embrace the challenge. So mm-hmm. you will actually use anything in your favor as a learning right. experience, as a growth experience. You will manage to always see those, almost to take a challenge into an opportunity.
Exactly. One thing that I looked always before, because I was always interested in that, I hated the comfort zone. I wanted to get out of the comfort zone because I felt like for most of my life, I have been in a comfort zone. So first thing that I took, because I like this idea where you took the challenge and turned it into an opportunity, I took the problems and turned them into challenges because I loved challenges. Because challenge for me was just, oh, let's do something, let's do cold shower challenge, let's do this challenge, that challenge. And then I realized, okay, let's take all of the problems, imaginary problems that I have as a young man, and let's turn them into challenges. And then it's actually a better perspective and more fun for me to deal with them. But I like this idea of really taking the challenges and then taking that into something else.
But also, so if we go back to the lockdown, you can sit on your ass and complain that you are stick to your house of things. Or you do a stupid challenge like I did. And the other day, we were talking about all the experiments that I did during that lockdown. Mm-hmm. But I think, yes, it can be an opportunity. So the idea is very simple, is that you know that in order to find a solution or to achieve that challenge or to conquer something, you need to change. You need to do something different. You need to...
Of course.
So you need to accept and embrace it. And I think that's completely opposite to say, oh, it's terrible, what's happening to me? Oh my God.
To complain and to blame.
Exactly. So the growth mindset, something to remember also, it's not easy. So we are not saying, but it's just that you don't, one way to, for me actually, but I think that people can relate to is that what we know from the fixed mindset is that you create frustration, but most importantly, regrets. And I don't want to have regrets. So I prefer to take risk, to accept challenge. One thing that it's clear is that as soon as you do something or you try to do something, you will fail.
Of course, it's something new. It's something you haven't done before. So there will be an obstacle.
Yes. Another aspect of the fixed mindset regarding the efforts is avoiding again and to see every effort as filler. Where I enjoy making efforts and the struggle. So I want to have the kind of struggle. So if I write, I want to have hard time to write at first.
Yes, this is what blocks many people because the first time when they start struggling, they feel like everything is finished. They have no inspiration. They want to stop.
Yeah, they want to avoid it. And I think that that struggle for me is a good sign. Maybe I'm hopefully doing something meaningful. And the fact that it's not that easy and obvious make it interesting.
Yeah.
So the effort is there to show me, yes, you are now into a challenge. You will have to go out of your comfort zone. You need to learn things and you need to go to that growth zone, but it won't be easy. So it's a process. And yes, there are efforts. So it's same thing. If I'm training in a sport or something, I need a bit of struggle because otherwise, you know, I'm playing pickleball.
Of course. Then it's too easy. Yes. Your muscles will not develop. Your instincts, your reflex will not develop if it doesn't get some stress, some kind of acute stress.
One key thing about the difference between fixed and growth mindset is about feedback. And
okay.
We talked a lot about feedback and actually at Brutus, we create a safe environment, but we were really, for us, it was very important to give a feedback. Actually,
exactly.
To give feedback within the team, constructive feedback, and also to the students. Because in order to grow, you need to know your limitation and to accept your weaknesses. So you learn from the feedback. So if someone criticizes you, you need to be grateful that they are actually sending you a feedback.
It means also they care enough to tell you and to try to help you get better.
Exactly. And in a way, that's where in a fixed mindset, you would ignore. You will perceive it really only as criticism or jealousy. You will stay rigid on your assumption and belief. So the true difference here is that I can even take a feedback and say, maybe that person doesn't see the whole picture. Maybe indeed they are kind of jealous or whatever. But I say, okay, what can I learn from this? And of course, I will prefer constructive feedback. And but I will listen and I will observe. And the feedback is not only what people tell you, is some result of things that are happening. I do an experiment. What is the outcome? That's a kind of feedback.
Mm-hmm,
and you can really learn from any feedback.
Because it's information. Any result you get, even if it's a bad result, it's information about the process you just did. So it's a feedback.
And in growth, it means that I start somewhere and I want to go elsewhere and hopefully mm-hmm. to be a better version of myself.
Yes.
So to know my limitation or my weaknesses are super important because that's where I start.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
very good.
It's something where I need really this to give me a direction and to know where I go. And mm-hmm. in a growth mindset, you would really focus on the process and you need to be ready that you will have to put some efforts and to have the right attitude that will give you the ability to change.
I love this comparison of the fixed and growth mindset. So what are some other points that we can really compare and to see how we can move from that fixed to a growth mindset?
I think one aspect is really to understand that you may have an independent mindset. You want to do things, craft on your own and things, but we are connected to others.
Always, so, yes.
We are acting in relation and reacting in relation of others.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something very important. So one thing as a creative person that you have to learn to deal with, and I think this one is really not easy. And I talked a bit about it in the instructor mindset because for educator is even more important, is how to deal with the success of others. And if I perceive the success of others as a threat, if mm-hmm. I compare myself or if I deny their success, this is really a fixed mindset because I have a problem with someone, even my student doing better than I. But as I said, for an instructor, that's exactly what you want to do. Meaning that if I'm the instructor of Picasso, I don't want to become Picasso. I want him to become a better version of himself.
Exactly.
That's my work. That's my... you know, that's my craft. And so you have to learn to deal with the success of others. And here, let's make it very clear. I'm not saying it's easy. But in a growth mindset, you find lesson in their success.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be inspired by their success.
Right.
And this is something very important where you realize that, oh, I'm really impressed. We have another podcast where we are talking about personal branding.
Yes, yes.
And it's something that for the business coaching I was talking about. And I made a case study about Pâtisserie Végétale in Paris
mm-hmm.
because I think that person, which is also the author of Berenice, different books, and she's a very nice person, she was very good at personal branding. And I'm really impressed.
In what way?
She had that goal for a very long time. She worked, but she was an engineer. So she didn't start as a cook at all or a pastry.
Mm-hmm.
Then she wanted really to do this. She used her sense of chemical, as you know, for pastry and bakery. It's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. The chemistry,
She studied a lot. And then mm-hmm. she worked as the baker in a restaurant, in a vegan restaurant.
Okay.
But she had that goal to open her own bakery. So then she worked a lot, improved her recipe, developed her whole approach. And her goal was very simple. She wanted to go to traditional French pastry, but vegan. And mm-hmm. you know, it's a huge challenge.
Yes, yes. The croissants, especially.
She did. So the croissant is a very good thing. So she did a lot of experimentation, as you can imagine. She went into writing a book about that. And when mm-hmm. she thought she was ready, she jumped into opening her own bakery.
Beautiful.
And actually what people will remind, and that's where we are in the personal branding here, she wanted to be the best vegan croissant in Paris.
That's a very beautiful goal, mission.
But also very simple. So in the short bio of our Instagram account, you have the emoticon of a croissant. It's yes. enough for
it's very
people.
Clear.
Yes, but, and that's interesting, as you know, when we talk about business and P&L thing, she's not stupid. She realized very soon that she won't make money with the croissant.
Okay.
She's making money with custom-made cake. You know, the birthday cake,
the wedding cakes,
the big cakes.
Right.
That she do on order. So it's a cash flow positive thing. It's on demand. The costs are covered. And she does that. It's piece of art. She's promoting those. But people know her. She's the best vegan croissant in Paris. So that's how people come to her. That's how she's remarkable. That's how people remember her. And then she's doing the cake that she has fun to do, and that's what's making the money. And so here you see that if you don't think of other people as a threat, if you don't want to compare yourself, you can be inspired and find very interesting lesson to learn from their success.
Exactly.
And for me, I don't really know her. We are in the same publisher. We have been in contact from time to time, but I'm really clearly inspired by her because I think she's super smart. And she managed actually to did crowdfunding to finance a store in Paris. The store is doing very well during the lockdown. You know, it was very difficult in Paris. She still did special orders and she managed to stay afloat. Now she's reopened already. So, I mean, we are talking about a serious badass. And I think a serious badass, don't see it as a threat. We need more people like this. So be inspired.
Exactly.
So I think
like we said in the previous podcast about personal branding, you said you don't want to compete with others. You don't want to copycat. You don't want to. So it makes sense if you want to be authentic and original that why should you be jealous of somebody's success? Because you don't want to be exactly like them. You want to just be inspired by them to do something different and original.
And find the lesson, find the pattern,
exactly.
Understand the steps, understand the process. Maybe there are things that you can learn from others because they went to some, you know, a challenge, some struggle.
Struggle.
So you can learn from this. The other aspect, which is also very important, and it's making mistake. In French, we have a very nice sentence about this. We say that you cannot do an omelette without breaking eggs.
Yes.
So when you start something, you make mistakes. And I think you have to really realize that hiding your mistake is like a child reaction, I understand, but at work is actually very dangerous. Trying to ignore your mistake or to try to justify them, blaming others, it's really not the way to go. So
exactly,
when you make mistake, actually making one is not an issue. Remaking the same all the time maybe is a bit more of an issue. But before that,
of course,
you have to perceive it as a learning opportunity. So in a growth mindset, I did an experiment. I make a huge mistake as we were talking about experiment that I do on fasting. I will do mistakes always, you know, because I'm trying. So, of course, if I don't learn from them, then it's a waste experience. But if I'm learning, then it's fine. And so one way to learn from your mistake is to pay attention to details. So when you hide a mistake, you know, you don't want to look back to it. And I'm saying the opposite, reflect on it.
Yes, yes.
So look,
think about it, why it happened.
And I think one thing is to go back and to do a postmortem and to say, okay, we did that experiment, we had that project, it didn't work out, why? Can we find...
Check out the black box.
Yes, and can we find lesson? Is there things that we thought were wrong, but we still did them? Or do we have a BA or a conflict of interest or something didn't work out? What did happen? And
so what if you have many mistakes and if it's if you feel you are a failure, what happens then? How do you go to the growth mindset in that case?
So failure is indeed, it's another stage of mistakes. And indeed, in a fixed mindset, people would see failure as a permanent stigma, a shame, and they will blame
shame, yes,
most of the time circumstances. And that failure can be in sports. Sometimes it's even emotional memories from education, from sports, from relation to the family, relatives, you name it. Where failure is the same. It's an opportunity to learn, adapt, and evolve. So when I started my first company, after 5 years, I had to close it, even though it was working. And yes, at that very very time where it did happen, I thought it was a pure failure.
Yeah. And because something you created kind of either fell apart or you decided to close it. So you feel like it didn't succeed.
And it was even worse because it was a bank that decided to close it. And I was forced to close it. So I didn't control that. So, but I felt like a failure, even though I started something from scratch that was, bootstrap for 5 years, making money, having employees working, people happy. We had a great of fun and things. So, and I learned a lot of things. I did learn so much about this. The interesting thing is that one of my clients that happened to be an American entrepreneur told me at this time, I was really feeling terrible. And he said, look, welcome to the club. I said, what? He said, look, when you're a project manager, I said, you are a project manager when you finish your project. He said, correct. When are you an entrepreneur? I said, I don't know. He said, when you close your first company. And he started to laugh and he said, look, this is meant to be. Like they have a life cycle. Everything has a life cycle in life. So fail fast. That's why they say this, because you will learn more. And I think you need to learn from the whole cycle. So failure is, I think, a bit more difficult to deal with than mistake.
It is. I think also because you put so much effort and your energy into it, but also your identity. When you create your company, and if you're your own boss, you put your identity to that brand. And when the brand fails, it feels like you failed.
And you will have what we call in French, traverser du désert, which is crossing the desert. You will have a time that's going to be tough, that's for sure, if it's a big failure. But
of course,
you will learn so much from it. And actually, talking about my clients, I told them, look, the company we had to close, it's an issue, I'm sorry, da, da, da. And say, we don't care. We want to work with you. The company can be called Bloom Bloom, Chak Chak, or Zumba Zumba. We are fine.
That's the magic point when you realize that you care about it so much, but your clients don't care. Yeah. They still hate you.
And they say, look, when we start to work. And and actually, I went, I moved from France to the Netherlands. Then shortly after, moved to Singapore. So without that failure that you can perceive as failure, I wouldn't have traveled so much, work abroad and teach at university. I would not have discovered that I had something about teaching. So one thing is that sometimes, and that's the very difference between the fixed mindset, a failure will force you to go outside of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
It will pull you out. Now you have no choice. So there are two ways, whether you see it as a shame and a permanent stigma and you will stay in your comfort zone and just blame others, or you have no choice and say, okay, look, I fail. I need to move on. Sometimes it takes time. Yes. Sometimes it's complicated. One thing that people can relate is in a relationship. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. You know, people divorce and then you have to rebuild your life from scratch. And that's not easy, but this is life. And this is an opportunity to learn, adapt, evolve. So I think failure really for me makes the difference between a fixed and a growth mindset, because failure in a growth mindset will really pull you out of your comfort zone, whether you want it or not. So for example, entrepreneur, it's a known thing. They had a good lifestyle, the life is great. When I stopped the first, so they blocked the first company, they actually took all the furniture in my house, in my apartment. And nothing left, just my cat, which actually, he was a pure minimalistic. That's where I learned minimalist, by the way. It was pure minimalist setting. There were nothing. They just kept everything. And then
Of course you feel like failure in that case.
Yeah. But then you realize, oh, I'm free to do whatever I want now because I have nothing attached to me.
And nothing to lose. Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing very important also in a growth mindset, and that's not well understood a lot, is help and support, where people in a fixed mindset, they don't really want to help a competitor. And they don't want to support someone that can become better than they are. Where actually others are very important if you're in growth mindset. So you give care without asking for return, but you want to support others and help them. And empathy is a very important aspect of growth mindset, because it's understanding that you will not learn without the others, or fighting with the others. You will learn by helping them. And one thing for us, which is natural in education, we say always that teaching is learning. So by helping or supporting others, we actually are learning. That's our way of learning.
Exactly. When one teaches to learn.
So the growth mindset here, again, a very strong difference. You don't see something worthless in helping or supporting, or a waste of time to help and support others, because this is the way you learn. And for me, keep learning, exploring and experimenting is at the core of the growth mindset. And the only thing is that you have to be kind of realistic. Don't ask or even wait for returns. They may come in very different things long time along the way. But
yeah, don't do things just because you want the favor back.
Exactly. And I think that's something also in behavior. We are talking about true empathy, true help and support. So for example, when you don't like something, don't do this to others. Meaning, if you think that to have a pop-up that asks you to register to that newsletter is annoying, don't make it on your website.
Exactly.
If you don't like the person that didn't talk to you for months and now is asking for you a favor, if you see that and you don't like this, that's fine. Then don't do it to others. So when we talk about help and support, it's just really in the very clear understanding that I don't feel like I have competitors. I want people to grow. They may grow faster than I, good for them. But I'm learning because I help them by understanding their problem, their effort. When we were talking about the challenges, when we were talking about the struggle, you know by experience that sometimes it's easier for you to solve something for someone else.
Yes.
Because when it's on you, you don't have the same clarity.
Yes, and you're more stuck, you're more blocked.
Exactly.
You are
so
in
that's
fear.
Why sometimes, and that's the power of teaching, and we know that, is that by solving others' challenge, you would learn how to solve yours.
Exactly.
So that's why it's so important. And that's why help and support is actually at the foundation of a growth mindset.
People need people. They need the connection.
And it's also really, even in an egoistic way, don't think that you will understand and figure out your own challenges. First, you will understand and figure out the challenges of others.
Very good. I think with this, we finish. And I hope everybody stays safe and enjoys. And we talk next week.